What we normally do in these conversations, Riti, is we'll introduce you and hear from you for 30 minutes or so about what you've been doing with your COMPI project through the pandemic and with the new addition of content servers and how that affects education, which most of us in the room are very interested in. And that'll give us another half an hour or so for questions, open discussion. And then the second portion of the meeting, normally the second half, you're welcome to stay. We often talk about celebrations and share good news and what people are excited about, what they're pleased to share, and surprising amount of that going around these days. And we also talk about issues and problems and things that are stressing people out and particular needs and calls for help. And often there's somebody in the room to respond to that as well. So, Riti, I know some of these people know you as the founder of A Small World and Kupi and one of the really talented people I've enjoyed working with over the years that we've gotten to know each other a little bit. So, Riti, I'm going to turn this over to you. You can feel free to say a little bit more about yourself. We're all very much looking forward to hearing from you. Already the room is up to 27 people, which is a very good turnout this morning. Riti, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so after before the pandemic, we started the computer companies, and most people thought it's the history. They thought the world going mobile. So we start a computer company is a backward. And then for some reason, the COVID hit. Everyone want to buy a laptop. We did not fully prepare, so we could not have enough money to in reserve to buy component to build enough laptop for user to buy. So it was a mismatch, but it was the right calculation that we had. During the pandemic that we didn't have the computer hardware to sell, we set our target on building software that could be used for education, which is our target, because number two, Audrey, because the mission of Kumpi is to build tools and providing resources for the next generations of innovator. By innovator, we means any children's, any adults, anybody that wish to use technology to help them accelerate their creativity. Those are our target audience and user. And so that's our missions. And the first year, it was just making laptop and the operating system. But then throughout this pandemic, we learned a lot that laptop alone won't fit the need, because the school, the children, or the young people that we want to serve do not have enough money of their own to buy laptop. Even though we wish that to happen, that every laptop, every student should have one laptop. But then we learned that those that do not have money, they could go to school and study computer. And so we build this mini desktop, and then we build a lab. And then when we install a lab in the school, we realized that lab alone won't work also. And so they need internet, but then internet is expensive or inaccessible. So they what we needed to do was to make a content that already preloaded in a school, so that the school do not need to have the internet, and then they can still access to the contents. That's what we talk about today, is content server. And then along with that, there are other things we do, test out, build and test in the school. It's a learning platform alongside the content server. But learning platform require online. Now, in the next 3 months, we will make the learning online also available offline in the content server. Marie, next. So this content server, this computer, is about bigger than our palm. Bigger, I think two times of the size of our smartphone. It's the mini PC in general. This has a multi-function, multi-purpose functions, which at one point you can use it for a desktop. On the other hand, you can use it as a server, and then you can actually also use it as a router. Technically, you don't want to use it as a router because the best use of it is a content server, act as a server that provide content to audience, and then use a secondary router as a router to provide content to different user at once. Next. So the content server by definition is an offline learning hub for remote students that live in the area with low or no internet access. 5 years from now, we might not have internet problem, but that's what I also said 5 years ago, that internet problem might not be an issue 2020, 2021. But for some reason, we still have issue in most places in Cambodia. We have access to internet, but most of the contents are YouTube, TikToks, Facebook, and all of those content that extract attention from our students from learning to just entertaining. And it is because they build a technology similar to the content server, but store only the social contents, entertainment content, so that general user would love to use it. Contents that for education, most of the time it's a bit boring if not guided properly. So this is why that most companies choose to use the social contents, which make them make money faster. Next. So the feature of the content server is involved mostly in STEM education, STEM video, interactions like fraction learning about physics. There are also simulations. There's also an online synchronization with some website. We are now working with the Ministry of Education Distance Learning Department. They have content worth of around, I think, 8 terabytes, that maybe more than 8 terabytes. They want to also make that website offline working with our content server. And this content server also make it possible for, if let's say school that have very low internet, they or no internet, or very, very weak internet, 4G, we make Wi-Fi hotspot in the area, you know, in the school. And so school students in the whole school actually that has, that can reach the internet coverage or Wi-Fi coverage, can access to the contents. The difference I want to make is that when you have Wi-Fi, it does not mean you have internet. Just so that we clear, Wi-Fi generally just a coverage in the area that provide user the access to maybe the internet or the content within the local internet. And so this content server technically is a local internet content provider. But let's say we bring internet from smart or cell card or smartphone with around 5 gigabyte per week or 20 or 30 gigabyte per month to just use for synchronization. For example, if a teacher want ABC contents and then it's not yet arrived in or have in the content server, the school principal or the admin of the content server in that school can make a request or make a synchronization to the cloud server in Phnom Penh or anywhere that link to the content server, and then update the content with to the content server, so that the next day or even if the internet faster and the content synchronization is not big, it can sync faster, then user in the school will have that access to that content without the need to pay for individual internet. For example, let's say there are 50 students in the school, but if everyone want to access the same content without the content server, everyone will have to pay for the data that they stream. But in this case, if one person sync the content, synchronize the content, meaning download the content to the content server, all the 49 other user can just use the content from the content server and don't have to pay a dime for that content's usage. With the content server, because it is new, we mainly provide minimal training to teachers and so that they can get started and train students how to use it, train other students or teacher how to use it also. Next.
Hello.
So for the content bank, people can use either from the computer, tablets, or smartphone. So it has, I don't know, it's a lot more now. We have, I think we have around 8 terabytes up for storage, but the content that we currently sync now is around bigger than 2 terabytes. So this is like a very big content, I mean, large contents for user to use. It's big, and most library, even the national library, the physical one, might not have 1 terabyte, but this content server can hold up to 8 terabyte, which currently we only have, I think 2.1 terabyte, based on my last discussion with Ponere, but we keep downloading open source contents and other content site as TED video for international Khan Academy Khmer, free code camp for coding, science. There's so many thing, and also we work with the next generation school from CISOAT and other next generation school that has good content to sync to, and then this ministry of our Department of Distance Learning have another, I think, 8 terabyte more, so we will find a way to sync contents to the central server, and then different school, different grade will sync different content to their school, so that they don't have to have a big storage to cover all of the content they don't use. For example, student from grade 1 to grade 6 can just download content from grade 1 to grade 6, maybe 7 and 8, so that those who are smart enough or curious enough that want to study grade 6, 7, 8 before them, they can go and browse. Oh, and other general knowledge content that the teacher want to keep can store. Most of the content server has around 2 to 4 terabytes, so that it can store more content than what they normally need for normal teaching. Okay, go ahead. Great. As for the additional contents upload, meaning that all the content we place there are the content for local teacher to use. If local teachers or students can create their own content and want to share to their friend, they can access to this admin. Normally it's only principals and some IT teacher that would use this content admin site so that they can upload their own content from the school in the location that they are at. For example, Ang High School or from Pimagara High School in Siem Reap has different content that they want to share to their student across this whole school. They can put the content inside here through this content server admin. They can then make it accessible by anyone that has access to the content server. So, or they can sync content more from the from our cloud, or they can take out some content they don't need if it's full their local storage. Next. So right now most of this content available in the multilingual Wikipedia. So for Cambodia, we have English and Khmer. The UC School is a website that teach how to code more broadly. And then Khan Academy, we take, I would say, almost everything. And then Vidika is our own learning platform. And we're working to make it available offline by, I think, July, or latest mid-July. Okay, next. So far, the use case that, these are the tests that we test. Some school only have access to content server. Some school has access to content server and the lab, which they have, let's say, 20 me station, which is a full computer within one school, one lab, one classroom, and then they have a content server. So the student go to the computer classroom and then use the computer normally, or they can access to the content server to read or experiment with some simulations such as fractions, speeds, heat, and all of that. We have worked with Ministry of Education very closely, UNESCO, UNICEF. We just now working with ADB to test 3 schools on using digital technology to improve their learning with tablet and content server. So there are 3 schools, one school without content server, without tablet, and 2 other school, student can take tablet home and then content server at school. So they can go to school, download the content they need to learn into their tablet, and then go home and read, do homework, and go back, and then submit the homework to teacher via their tablet and go to the content server. So this for the school has a range of service of the content server that they need to use differently. Some school has more, some school has less. And most of the school are in Mundokiri, Rottanakiri, probably here, Steng Trang, Sinukwil. I think total we have maybe 17 provinces. Kandahar province is one of them too, even though it's close to Phnom Penh. I don't think we have any content server yet in Siem Reap for some reason. Next. I'm not here to sell, but this is what we sell to the public. Most of the time, content being purchased, the content server are between 1 terabyte to 2 terabyte. And then some, let's say, teacher training college, they buy for 4 terabyte. So I think we have it. Yeah. Next. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. This presentation is made by Pich Punarie, the guy that make the presentation, run presentation for me. I'm happy to take questions. I'm not sure if it's 30 minutes yet. Punarie can close the screen. Cannot hear.
Bill, please unmute yourself. Bill, unmute yourself. Unmute yourself.
I think you unmute yourself, Bill.
Oh, I was muted. Oh my goodness. I thought I unmuted it. Anyway, Rithi, that was a very thoughtful presentation. We appreciate both the preparation and the presentation of that material. And I know the content server excites me because it's an opportunity to bring all of that learning material into a classroom where there is no internet and provide their own local internet system. So let's leave it open for questions, comments, and further discussion here.
Thank you.
Remarkably quiet group this morning.
Yeah, it's me from BFT. Oh, yeah, okay. Bonnet, yeah, you go first.
Adam, change mon.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Bong, thank you so much. I have aware that early, by the introduction from Mr. Bill. And, actually our founder and director, Professor Seta, have communicated with you, in order to, to bring these technologies to our, high school in some location. And, from the reason you have present, it's very, very a good project, which, as our founder mentioned in the email, really looking forward, and hopefully we will work somehow in some high school of the BFT. So, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Rith, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Bon Rithi. So I have a few questions. The first one, have you heard Teacher in a Box?
Yeah. But I never experiment with them. Teacher in a Box, okay. And what do you call it? The thing, the lab.
Yeah, because Teacher in a Box is a rotary project. And it's more like e-library, so I'm not too sure whether your program is really similar to that or slightly different.
I think it's slightly different. The mobile libraries, I forgot the name of the project, but it's not working very well. So even the project creator admit that it's failure. So, the content server that we are building is making the content very accessible to the broader audience in the whole school, not just from like a group of people that access to at once. This content server, I forgot to mention the capacity, can access by a user at once up to 10,000 people. So the capacity for hosting the content server in one high school is very doable. Whereas the previous project that attempt to do, I think host like 30 people. And so if you have 2000 people in a high school or in school, or even 500, it's you have to do it like hours by hour, 30 at a time. In this case, different teacher from different class can access the content in different type of content for different grade of students all at once. But the content server alone won't help for that. It needs some network installation. And that part, we say the content server with the Kumpi 5.5. Normal content server can host around, I think, up to 60 people at once. But then if we want to have the whole school access to the content server, we just need to install access point. I explained Bill earlier when we met that we have more access point, and this access point can bring user, Bill call it, I think, a router. You call router, but it's not really a router. It's an access point that connect to router connect to the content server. And this will make it accessible to anyone that access to the network, basically a local internet for the whole school.
And my next question is, who actually like what sort of the age group of the student that this program is targeted?
So we have contents range from grade 1 all the way to grade 12, past grade 12 to even university coding. The content, we are building a content server that hold the internet offline. That's the idea. So we don't have age limit, although user will have different grade or different ability to access to the server. For example, there are 4 provinces we brought 20 content server to. Those school, I think, have age grade between, I think, grade 1 to grade 5 or grade 6. 20 school in Mudagiri, Ratnagiri, Stengtrang, and Project. So they are mostly primary school. They do learn multilingual content. So we put a lot of content there, and teacher can just access the content to teach the student. We just installed those, I think, in October. So we're still on observations, and then call up to follow up to the teachers. What do they learn? What useful of the content server for them? But certainly it is more useful than none, because they usually don't have anything to teach. Now they have something to teach in those remote area, very remote. If you remember the picture we put on the slide deck just now, it's very remote.
So I have 2 more questions. Is it okay to ask, Bill? Or you want...
Yeah. Rith, why don't you go ahead? I don't see any other hands up at the moment.
So is the program come as a whole set like computer? So is it allow the student to use for other program like Microsoft Access or anything like that? Or it just only focus on your...
It's froze.
My question is, if the whole set is come like the other computer, so, or it's just specific on your program.
So content server is not Kumpi OS, or it's not an operating system. It's the server.
Okay.
In order to access the content, you can use it from Microsoft Windows. You can use it from your smartphone. The user have to have a way to access the content server. We don't provide access beyond network and content server itself.
Okay.
So imagine a school that you go and there's a Wi-Fi called content server. You connect this Wi-Fi, and now you have it lead you to go and type a domain name called, let's say, kumpi.kh. In there, you can access any content available in the local area. So that's how you access. When it comes to Microsoft Office and Access and all of that, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think people should learn, the next generation should learn this kind of thing, because it's the 20 years history. Anyone who learned Microsoft Office today will have no job in 10 years, like no job. That's why in the content server, we have coding class. We have like self-taught coding. We have problem-solving skill, computational way. So if people know how to solve problem, they can use our system, which is operating system of Gumpy. They can use any systems of Mac. They can use system of Windows with no problem. Because job in the future, you do not know what system the future company will use, because even Microsoft use Linux, the open source system, that make $40 billion a year today. They don't make $40 billion from Microsoft. So even Microsoft switching that, but the user still use Microsoft Office.
I think you mentioned about the cost of your program, but is there an ongoing monthly or annually cost for upgrading the system or anything like that?
No, except if, let's say, some components broken by human actions. Most of the time, our goal is to, in general, by now, I think more than a year that we install the content server, there's no broken. And if we need to, let's say, upgrade the contents, they just upgrade themselves. The previous one, we ask them to send to Phnom Penh, we upgrade for them and we send it back. But the next generations can be synced remotely from wherever they are. The only thing they have to pay is the internet data to sync the content to this particular content server. So the price is one off. The no-minute cost, no-minute fee. They would have to pay for internet access if they want internet access to their location. But the price is for the content server with basic connection to, again, I'm not selling, I'm just telling the information that we generally put onto the school, around 30 to 60 people access at one. This would be included in the cost. But if they want the whole building to be accessed, then we have to buy a component to make it accessible by the whole building. So the additional cost will be applied. If they want the whole school to be accessed, let's say 3-4 hectares of a whole the school campus to be accessed to the same network, then we have to spend on wire, which we cannot reuse, so we have to pay additional routers and additional access point to make it accessible, basically like 500 to 1,000 students at once. And this would be, I think, additional cost around $1,000-$2,000, depend on how big the school is. But then after that, the whole content is theirs. And if they need to change content, they have to update content, it's all there.
Yep, but thank you. That's all for my question, I think.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Rith, for good questions. Much appreciated. I see Ling Seng, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bong Gumpy. Thank you so much. Bong Rith, right? Not Gumpy. And I see your name's Gumpy. You hear me?
Yeah.
Pretty. You hear me? Yeah, I just comment that regarding to one of the like a firm like NGO or something like that, Submicode, you know that one, and they also focus the Submicode. The founder is a Cambodian American.
He
also tried to improve the ITC in Cambodia, but more focused on coding. That he worked with several NGO to improve that area. I think it might be good that you know, IT, NGO teams can work together, how to improve that one. We are looking forward to hearing the experiments, research, the cohort that you do with the UNDP, and let's see how it is. And then it might be bring that finding to apply over the country. I just comment that it should be discussed with the bycode only. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we are in touch. So Bong Sereun, the one who operate in Cambodia. So there's another guy who live on and off between Cambodia and America. But there's a team who operate this in Phnom Penh, and we are still finding a way to work together. Honestly, during COVID and after COVID, survival of the operation is a big task. So collaboration sometimes costs a lot more to collaborate when it comes to time. And so for the pilot, we need to do that. And for Sabico to collaborate, for example, they have to have their own video, and then we can put it onto the content server. But thank you for the recommendation.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Singh. Did that answer their questions or give you enough floor time?
Yes.
Excellent. Rebecca, you have your hand up.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hear you fine. Yeah.
Hi, thanks, Ritzy, for a great presentation and introduction into the content server. I know when Bill was here, he spoke very highly of you and of this project, so it's great to hear from you about it. Also, just going on from what Langsen said, we also work with Sabai Code. So if there's any way that you could get anything from them in terms of content on that, I think that would be great, especially with if there's any kind of teacher training from that. That's what we were looking for with the Sabai Code and coding, but nothing's come from that yet. Just a few questions. So the current content servers that you have in the provinces, so that's all funded, like those content servers are already funded for by who, sorry?
Kumpi.
Oh, so Compi funded those content servers to go into that.
No. So most of the contents are open source. The only thing that costs us is our time to develop the software that hold the content and distribute the content, and the internet bandwidth for us to download those contents to put into the content server. Nobody fund us except the purchasing amount that they have. For example, the UNDPs or UNESCO, they see the content server that can be useful, and so they purchase this content server, install into the location where they want to pilot and support.
Okay.
Yeah. But the whole tool, this content server development costs us around 2 years of work. Mostly Bunnery's time and Magara his team time, and some of our team that build the content server software together. So I think it's about 4 people working for a whole 2.5 years on and off.
Okay, great. And do they have any plans to kind of expand that funding to have in other schools?
So honestly speaking, after we showed this to the World Bank, Asian Development Bank, ADB, the team of ADB mentioned last year, I think around January, not last year, this year, that they said 2024 should be in 500 schools or so. So they have planned to put into, I think, 550 schools. But I don't know which are those schools that will be chosen. But certainly, Kumpi has our own plan also. So if we sold 500 schools, and an ADB fund that, we could use some of the proceeds of our revenue to work with good school that not chosen by ADB. For example, right now, I think we have donated this content server to not less than 5 schools, I think. And then the 2 schools in Siem Reap that I forgot the location, they will get the content server, but the basic operation, so around 30 to 60 user at once. So this content server will be free and funded by Kumpi.
Great to hear. And just one more question. Did you say that you've, any teacher training college has used the content server?
Yeah, so there are 11 teacher training college. Although what they have is a very early version of the content server. So we have to like upgrade to them. And some teacher training college will have to manually go to the province and update it for them. But there are 11 provinces. I think one's in Bosat, one's in Batin Minche. Where are you at? In Siem Reap?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's none in Siem Reap. but we have in Prabhu here, Krajeh, Stengdrang, Swai Rien, 11 places. I don't know where they are. Kampot, Senukwil, Kampong Chenang.
And the content for the teacher training centers, is that more based on like the curriculum in the schools, or is that training for the teachers?
I don't remember, but it was provided by the Ministry of Education for the teacher training college. So this content provided to us by the Ministry of Education, all we need to do is to download and put into the content server, and then bring it to the school there. And what we did also at the teacher training college was to install Wi-Fi in the whole school. And those was a big cost. So the whole Wi-Fi, the whole school has Wi-Fi like an airport. Like imagine you go to a school, but feel like an airport, you connect Wi-Fi everywhere you walk to. And then everywhere you walk to, you have access to both internet and also the content in the local school. And when you have connection to the internet, for example, you watch YouTube. So YouTube video could be slow, but the content that they browse from the content server and slow. It will be faster than YouTube. And the quality also better, because we don't have to rely on the algorithm to give you what kind of resolution for the video.
Right. Thank you for answering my question.
I have a question back. What is the organization? Because I need to talk to Bong Srun at the Spy Code. What's your organization?
Caring for Cambodia.
Okay. Thank you.
Good question, sir, Rebecca. Thank you. Rithi, hey. I have a question. When you and I spoke in Phnom Penh, I guess it's been 6 or 7 weeks ago now, and you were telling me about how this got developed and you're working with the Minister of Education. Did they put any money into this, or are they just cooperating with you? But I was hoping you'd get a little bit of government funding out of this.
So far, none. I think it's better that way, because we don't have to bow down to anyone to give us funding, because our operation cost is very low. But the good side is that they see the value of the work that we have done. They don't provide us funding, but instead they buy the product with the funding partner that they work with. For example, the Ministry of Education, Department of Information Technology. They see that this is good, and they want some of the school to have it. And then UNICEF reached out to them to say, we have this funding to support education's ABC, XYZ. And then the department say, I think this is good to test at the school in the remote province. And then the UNICEF took a look and they love it. And so they say, okay, we will fund 20 schools. And so this is how it works. But we don't have, like, let's say, a grant that from the ministry to develop thing. But instead, we build our thing, and then they like what we build, and they want to use. So it's on top of the content server, we have this Vitica platform. The Vitica platform is an online school platform that allow anyone to create their own school, but generally public school can create public school under the Ministry of Education. And so they see the value in that. And now they would like us to replicate this platform for general public, for the Ministry of Education. And they don't have to like study what's need to be done. They can see how it worked. They experimented. If you go now to SLA Sala, sala.moist.gov.kh, that's the problem. I think version 0.1 of this platform being test out, and then by July, it will be completely deployed. And school in their chosen area will be able to create their own school in collaboration with the Ministry of Education to have their own digital school, to control their school students and teacher for the principal. And then the ministry can also see the course being taught and learned by students from different area. So this platform we are building over the past 2.5 years now seen as valuable for organizations such as ADB, UNESCO, UNICEF, and shown by the Ministry of Education, the demand that they want to use.
That was quite an investment in your part then, and your experience parallels what I remember Langsing telling me about some of the work in providing English teaching materials. The Ministry of Education, Minister of Education, was watching that develop, didn't fund it, but then later they decided that they wanted it for more schools, and then they yeah. buy
and
stuff. So
yeah, I think for us, we want to stay more independent on what we should develop and what we should not, because from a technology development point of view, something we don't have to build and something we should build, but not seen or not valued by general user, because they think they need it now, but it's in like after they build it, to take about 6 months to build, and then after building that, it's already out of date. And so we want to build something that they will use and not they already use.
Yeah, there's something to be said for having the freedom to follow your own sense of what needs to be developed rather than a government agency. Rith, you've got your hand back up again. Unmute yourself and feel free to ask your question.
I have just a question back to Teacher in a Box, because I actually worked with them before. They're looking for, I think, some people in Cambodia who can probably try to put together, because they're, I think you probably heard about this, but because they want some program which fit in also with Cambodian context. So would you be interested to explore the partnership with them? If you're interested, I can start to open this discussion with them, because this is a Rotary project with a Rotary district in Brisbane.
I think it doesn't hurt to learn from each other and maybe collaborate on some level. I think Teacher in a Box and the other program is two different, Lab on the Go or something like that. In Cambodia, they've been built. Lab on the Wheel. I think it's like something like that, Lab on the Wheel. tablet on wheel. I think a tablet on wheel. I don't remember. That seems to be quite. I say give it one day.
No, fine, relatable. I was saying a tablet on wheel.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a program called Tablet on Wheel, and I confused with Teacher in a Box. But I don't think I have experiment or talk or work with any one from Teacher in a Box.
I have a whole set for Teacher in a Box here. If you're interested, I probably can send it to you and you can explore from that.
Since you're in Siem Reap, I think Phun Rie can go and check.
I'm in Battambang.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maybe you can send to Siem Reap. Phun Rie is there. It's closer. And he can check. Okay. Phun Rie, can you get his contact later? Sandra.
Okay, mom.
Thank you, Rith. Was there something else, Rith? No, I think not. Sandra, you've got your hand up. And then Odom, you'll follow Sandra.
I just one quickly regarding to Bong. We also have the teacher in the box at the office, so probably Phun Rie can have a look, like check with the one we have in Siem Reap.
Okay, appreciate you sharing that. And
yeah, so don't have to send. You can
come to our office. Yeah, like BFT, so we can communicate.
BFT.
I can send you the email that I have from the communication with Mr. Seta. Yeah.
Just bomb.
I will send the location. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Sandra, I think we're ready for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Also for the presentation. I have just like a question to kind of understanding the style in the schools that you've already implemented this content server. So is it that you also like hand in hand with this content server kind of promote also new ways of teachings in terms of like besides computer class that you have those other, the normal curriculum is more computer based, or like how do I need to understand the whole kind of like curriculum that you also promote with this style and this tools that you have?
Okay, yeah, so technically we do not really have a curriculum. A curriculum will be designed by teacher that will use the content to teach, or they can follow the curriculum from the Ministry of Education, or the school have their own the curriculum design. The content we provide are a wide range of contents in different category. There will be like school-based contents from grade 1 to grade 12. So if the teacher need resources to teach, they can take it from there, or they can pick a resource and then send the link to the students, then the student can go and read. There are the general resources such as W3 school. These are website building or code programming learning website, generally only accessed by those who have internet access. So we download the whole site and then put it offline. And so the student in general do not know what is WC school. So what we want is to expose the student to WC school. And so if they see it, although it is in English, it's hard for them. But some student will catch the attentions. We will catch the attention, and then they might go to experiment with WC school and they'll learn how to code by themselves. This is how we see things working. We trying to work with some school that could design open curriculum so that some teacher might want to take these curriculums and follow on their future teaching. But so far we have not found any teacher that want to share a curriculum like that yet. I think in the near future, once we have some funding aside to work with some good organization that might need funding to build open curriculum, then we can fund part of that to make the curriculum open and then put it onto the content server. Anyone that has access to that content server would have the curriculum. We also make it a mirror the content server to online. So for example, some school that has internet but don't have content server and prefer to use our website, they can go to our website with the guide.org library. They have the same content as content server and also the online. So it's not just like for those who only offline have access to this content, and then those who do not have or purchase our content server don't have. So we make it available as accessible as possible for general user.
Okay, thank you.
Which organization you are?
Lighthouse Battambang.
Oh, in Battambang, okay.
Yeah, I was just more like wondering if it's in terms of, yeah, new schools and stuff, like if including like the stations and all of that, like are we talking a computer classroom or like would it be kind of necessary to have like the computers like for all the classes, like all the lessons, you know, because or just kind of like as a content server for the teachers to like download and print the stuff.
Yeah, ideally, the teaching should be based on computer. So like the whole, maybe not all the classes in the schools, maybe there are like 2-3 classroom has computer that can teach based on this content server. But even without this computer, for example, student from grade 7, 8, 9, and 10 upward, everywhere now they have smartphone or some, not all of them, but most of them have smartphone. So as long as they have smartphone, they can connect to the local Wi-Fi. They can then consume this content that we provide. And this content are all education-based content. Even some content would be entertainment, but it's more like taking them to learn about education based, let's say fraction simulations and all of that, that would be included in there. And then most kids would love to learn physics and chemistry and would be learning from there. But the ideal part would be 2-3 computer room have access to this content server. Everyone have access to the contents while learning in the classroom. That's why in Kumpi, if you remember what I shown, the product line is not only the laptop and not only the content server. We have Kumpi Fi-Fi, which is the Wi-Fi network installation for the whole school or some classroom that would help content server serve to the user. And Kumpi has a project called Kumpi One Lab. So this One Lab mission is to hopefully to make a computer classroom, at least one classroom or one lab per school, which I think it is in the same missions or the same vision as the Ministry of Education, and most schools want to have their own lab in one in their school, at least one lab. And so that's the idea. And but most of the lab that is existing today, they only have like an old power PC, 15 of them, only 2 working, and then nobody use. And then they install Windows XP or something like that. So it's not really usable or friendly for the user. Also not internet friendly. And if you not environmental friendly in terms of the energy. So if you turn on that computer, if they have 5, you just need to pay electricity within 1 year, you equal to, let's say, buy the new computer, because it consume a lot of electricity, because those computers are donated by some NGO or some company that don't want to use the computer anymore. And so the lab that we install can be fully independent. For example, if they invest, let's say, $2,000 or something more to install solar. And then because the energy consumed almost as low as a smartphone with the Kumpi Mini that we have. And so we also test this kind of this lab consumptions in our office in the jungle in near Bignell. So and then we install different solar to see what would be the feasibility if a school is very remote, no electricity, no internet, but can get some satellite internet, and can they operate? Because electronic will need electricity consumption, and so we install a 3 kilowatt hour solar, and then provide to this internet, not provide to this lab, and so like a whole range of product that we have been built in the last 2.5 years, and all of this only built by 20 people, so it's difficult to show the whole progress, but I think in two years you'll see more use case out of this, both content servers and the one labs and all of that. The first time I met with Bill was, I think, during or before COVID. And we only had laptop. So now looking back, we have been quite far from there.
Yes, you've made great progress since that first day we met. And it was pre-COVID. Rithi, what a fascinating presentation, and I think you can see by the questions that you received that you drew a lot of interest from the group. Before we close it, though, I should offer up opportunity for one last question of somebody. Oh, Ariel, you got your hand up.
Yeah, that's right, I do. Thank you, Bill. I do have a question about the kind of personalization, like for each school or institution that uses this, are they able to add material? Like, how do they put kind of like their own source material to make them shareable either with their students or perhaps with a bigger network? Like, can we just upload it like we would onto the internet, or is it, do we somehow like put links and connect it somehow to something else? Like, how do we, like, how does my organization use this product to share something with our students, lessons, guidebooks, something
you have
that we want to share?
You have something to share?
Not right now, but like I think we're like you're saying, curricula maybe books, or maybe kind of important notes and information, you know, that's, you know, we want to share with our students directly, and make it so, like, you know, you can, whether you have the internet or not, whether you're here or not, you can just you'll have access to them. How do we schools do this?
There are a few ways. One, if you have the content server at your location, there's an admin page that you can log into and then upload those content to the content server that you have. The other one is to have to access to the online portal that we have. Right now we are moving to single platform called Vidika. Once we've done that, I will share with Bills and he can share with everyone. You can go to an online website called vidika.org and then register your organization there, and then start uploading anything you want, and then it will be shared to all the content server that install across Cambodia. Right now we have, I think, 42 content server across Cambodia. There might be only like 30 or so can be sync, because the previous one we didn't develop the sync yet, and so we have to do manually update and then sync later. But in the future, for those who upload content, I think after July, there'll be some more progress. Local content server users can upload the content for their own students. At the same time, they can share to the broader audience across Cambodia, or even across to, because right now we are sending one content server to Malawi and then one content server to Indonesia. And if they adopt, then they can also be sent to those But unfortunately, if you upload it in Khmer, it's only available and usage in Cambodia. But if it is in English, they will be available to use for anyone that has the access to the content server or want to use it. So right now, the only way to upload the content for general public, I mean, there are two ways. One is to go to have the content server by the location, and the other one is to upload it to vidika.org through their own school creation. For example, if you have an organization name, Journal Within Community. Oh, JW. Oh, so I think I went there. We used to work together when I was working with Peppy. Yeah, so you can create your own organization there, and then if you have content, you can upload all those content, teacher teachings and all of that to vidika.org. It's vetika.org. I can send it in chat, and then you can create it and upload it there for now, and then I think by July it will be synced. If you put content into the library, you can sync and share with the library, with the Ministry of Education too. So alongside together, because the Ministry of Education will also use that, and so there are two departments from Ministry of Education. One is Department of Distance Learning. They have around, I think, like 8 terabytes of content. We don't know how to distribute and we don't know how to break it in chunks yet because 8 terabytes is so big, but most of their content are videos. And then there is another one, Information Technology Department. They have big variety of content from PDF to books to many things. I don't know how many they have. I think at least 2 terabytes of contents. But this, when the content is too big like that, it's so difficult to digest. But if there's a handmade or tailor-made content by organization that used within the community and you want to share into a broader area, that can be shared into those two through two platform. I will send to you in the chat. You can check it out.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Good. Thank you. Good questions, Ariel. Thank you. And so, Paul, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I just have a quick comment. I don't know why internet's not that great, but I'm not sure whether Ruti already mentioned this. Like, in case we want to have practicing in a school, what is the procedure to get the servers, and how much is the contribution from the organization? Like the cost or anything.
Yeah, anyway. So the content server is built from Gumpy for a commercial price. So you want to know the cost that cost us?
It's just like if I have a school and then or let's say our foundation want to have one of those in our partner organization, how much does it cost for us to have that content server, and what is the procedure if you want to have that?
Okay, let me I don't remember. Let me check. So there are four prices for the school that don't need to store too many contents. There'll be 512 gigabytes of storage. You know, 500 gigabytes is around 500 HD movie. So that would be $650. And then 1 terabyte, that would be $670. So from 1 terabyte to from 512 gigabyte to 1 terabyte, it's not a big difference. It's only like $20 difference. But then from 1 terabyte to 2 terabyte would be like around $100 different, $200 different, because we have to pay for this SSD storage. It's not a normal hard drive storage. And then 4 terabyte would be $1,100. It's a one-off price.
Maintenance cost or like how much you charge for the visit or something?
I think all I think that includes delivery in Cambodia.
Well,
but in case it doesn't work, an installment and so on.
Sorry?
The maintenance fee in case it's broken or, you know, like annual checkup or something like that.
Honestly, under right now we only sell like 40 something content server. We don't think about the we don't think about the cost yet. It might be some cost in the future, but for now we do all free. Like if we need to upgrade any software that we upgrade, because we know that our software right now is not ideal. It's usable, but it's not ideal to the thing we want. And so we make it free. Right now, I think we have content from Kampong Chinang, content server that we sent it, I think, a year ago. Now send back and upgrade, and then we send it back to them. I think the only thing they pay is to pay for a transportation fee, which is a delivery fee, and then send back. I think we even cover the delivery fee. It's like $5.
Okay.
But we don't charge on maintenance and all of that, because this is a very doable computer. Over the last 2 years, we only have one broken, like one.
Mm.
Okay. In the past, so our laptop was different.
Right. So if we put this in a public school, would the government subsidize any of those costs?
We hope so. We don't know yet.
But nevertheless,
thank you so much.
Those are questions I had in my mind. So, Paul, thanks for asking them, because it sounds very affordable, and that if somebody's ready to experiment with this in a schoolroom or two or a school or two, that's something we should take a look at.
There is another solution similar to the Kumpi content server called Rachel, which they provide very similar, but the price is around the same, and the spec, the technology spec, meaning the storage, the RAM that can provide, it's a lot lower, like 8 times lower than what we provide. And the spec is about the same spec or lower too. The price around the same, but the spec is a lot lower. I think they have like 1 terabyte that costs around $1,200. And so we have like below, around almost 2 times below their cost. And they don't have 4 terabyte because they use Raspberry Pi base and we use the Kumpi motherboards to do. And so the Kumpi motherboard has 8 gigabyte of RAM, and then the operating system to install in there is like 128 gigabyte, and then an external storage, additional storage up to 10 terabytes. But we need to test right now. It worked well with 4 terabyte. If you put 10 terabyte, it has to be like a big organization that serve 5 to 10,000 people. And so if it is only like 2-3,000 students, we only recommend up to 4 terabyte. That keep the cost low, and that also keep the usage, because 4 terabyte is a lot of content. It's like if we measure, it would be from print out an A4 paper from Earth to Moon like 4 times.
That's a lot of information.
Yeah.
So, and I think that this whole CLLC group is becoming I'll use the word family. It's certainly a community, and we support one another, and we count you as part of that community. So when somebody's ready to try out this notion of a content server, you're our go-to guy for something like this. So we're running a little long on time already. It's 11:30, and I'm going to need a few minutes myself in this meeting. Rithi, thank you so much for the time and the energy and the preparation to present this information to the group today. Very much appreciated.
And thank you very much for having me.
I think you could tell by the conversation you generated that it's very much appreciated. I'm going to stop the recording now.